It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Another CrowdStrike Microsoft issue. Just general computer issues, and the crowd goes wild. Goodness, I don't know if this laptop is dead, but this is what happens when you share studios with other people. People come in, they unplug things, computers die, there's equipment out of place, who knows where it goes or where it's been. No idea. However, I do know the microphone still works. So, boom, step one. Let's check that box. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, it's been a bit of a blow up, a couple hours behind the scenes. Nothing that matters to you, really. Just some late requests to help here and do this and do that and just general chaos that you're never supposed to know about because we're supposed to make it sound like it's easy peasy, right? Walk in the door, sit down, talk about sports and whatever else for 4 hours, and voila, no prep involved. I actually, every now and then, will have people say to me something along the lines of, you don't work 8 hours. All you do is show up, talk 4 hours, and leave. That's my favorite. It's my favorite insult slash compliment, if it can sound that way. Goodness, I am so, so, so happy. It's almost Friday. Woo! Happy almost Friday to you. I am thinking it's not going to be anything like last Friday, thankfully, because this time last week we had had the computer crash of 2024 and about 75% of our computers were down and we weren't really sure what was happening. Actually, Colton was with me a week ago as well. Now he's back behind the double pane glass, and I believe all of our computers are working once they power up and once they've been plugged back in and once I can find them somewhere in the studio. Disasters averted. It's good to know we're into our last show before the end of the work week. I know some of you may be working a typical Friday, so you still have that ahead of you. However, the weekend is on the horizon. And wowzers, it's the last weekend of July, believe it or not. The Olympics formally open with the ceremonies on Friday coming from Aubervilliers. And I know there's a lot of events already underway, but there's still something special about the Parade of Nations, which I really appreciate. And I'm excited to see Coco Gauff and LeBron James lead the American contingent, always one of the largest, if not the largest. And if you missed it, Team USA is expected to collect the most medals in these Paris Olympics. So that begins in earnest on this Friday evening. It'll be with the time change, of course, hours later that we're actually able to see it in prime time. But I hope that you'll check it out. Every single one of these Paris events is being streamed on Peacock, for those of you who have Peacock. And I feel like we've had this conversation before, right? Because we were talking about the NFL and its playoff games. And so many of you already have Peacock. You can watch the events on demand. You can watch them live if there isn't a TV option. I'm assuming there's playback, and I know there's highlights and all that kind of stuff. But you can also wait until they air in prime time, or you can catch them on a couple of different networks like USA. I actually went ahead and bookmarked USA on my computer guide, or not my computer guide, sorry, my TV guide last night. So because I knew that there was going to be soccer taking place on Thursday, and so I went ahead and found it and locked it in so that I wouldn't have to be searching for it over the next couple of weeks. So I hope that you're excited about the Olympics. I know we did our question earlier this week where we asked you what events do you consider to be must watch, and I got a huge variety, which was awesome. Love the fact that it's smack dab in the middle of the summertime and that we have this veritable smorgasbord. You know, it's one of my favorite words because it's food, even though I generally do apply it to sports a lot of the time. But it's something for everyone. It's a buffet where if you're a sports fan, or even if you're not a sports diehard, but you're just into pomp and circumstance and spectacle and the red, white, and blue and cheering for the red, white, and blue, well, there will be ways that you can get sucked in. So I'm looking forward to that. I remembered this as a kid. My brother and I and my mom, sometimes friends, hanging out every night looking forward to the Olympics broadcast that would air in prime time and not knowing the results ahead of time. I kind of missed that part. Not knowing the results ahead of time was part of the drama and part of the excitement, but that's not really the case anymore, especially when the Olympics have a major time change like they do for us here in the United States. Again, not as drastic as Tokyo, but definitely a time change where you will know the results ahead of time if that's what you want. I'm excited. I can't wait to see some of the newer events, some of the events that we only see every 4 years. And there's always great stories. The thrill of victory, yes, the agony of defeat, it's part of it as well. So that's going to keep us company. Plus, every NFL training camp is now underway. We had the last few teams like the Dallas Cowboys report in Oxnard, California. We've got a bunch of different audio that we'll share from the football world just because it's kind of fun to drop it in. Really more of a precursor to what's to come in August. But we always love to hear from our quarterbacks. We always love to hear from the new coaches. And we love to badger them about different playoff battles or holdouts or things like that. So yeah, we'll have fun. We'll make these next 4 hours go very quickly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twix, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, easy to find, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You've also got our YouTube channel. If, for instance, you need some chubby bunny, a world championship or two to keep you company, or you're looking for some videos to get to know us a little bit better in a different way. Not a whole lot that will be new through the summertime as we change producers and as we find a new direction for the show, but there's some good stuff there, and we've built up quite a library of videos going back. I don't actually remember when the YouTube channel started. It wasn't when we first got on the air here. It was something that Isaac did. If you remember, gosh, how many producers back? And he wasn't actually a producer. He was a technical director, which was amazing when we had one. Now it's really just one producer. But Isaac worked with us, let's see, 2015 through about 18 or 19, somewhere in there. Yeah, so with Isaac, he was so creative and loved to do videos, and he started this YouTube channel. And we've been able to build up quite a library of content, though I'm excited for the time when we will be able to add to that as well. But named after the show. And then our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Tonight's guest will join us from the Bay Area. And Matthew Keys has been on the show once before. He is a media and tech insider and really savvy when it comes to the trends and charting them. And more on his website, he tells me that the interactions he gets from fans are sports related. And fans have more and more questions about the ever-changing sports broadcast landscape in which you've got streaming that has become a major factor. And, you know, we've talked about this multiple times in the past. How much will fans continue to add these streaming services? How many more will fans fork over the subscription fees? How many are we going to need all of them? And how many are there actually to be able to follow our favorite sports? And the WNBA and the NBA are the latest to jump into this streaming migration with both feet and making a huge splash. Unless Warner Brothers Discovery has something to say about it, Amazon will soon have NBA games. And it's about the money. We know it's about the money. We know that the commissioners of these leagues are trying to tap into what is a relatively unused or relatively new even revenue source. And that drives every decision. So you can understand where loyalty essentially runs headlong into a brick wall. And it doesn't matter about long-term relationships. It doesn't matter how many years fans have watched their favorite sport on a particular network. And it really doesn't matter if fans prefer cable. Nah, that doesn't matter. What matters is how much money these companies can make, these leagues can make, and the corporate partnerships can make by tapping into streaming revenue. And so we know it's happening all over with Peacock, with Amazon, with Apple, with Netflix. I'm sure I'm missing some. With Paramount, of course, you're getting it all over the place with ESPN Plus. How many do you have is a question I've asked you before. How many more are you willing to add? I've drawn the line, and right now I still have cable because that's where I get the variety and the majority of the sports that I need. But I do have a couple of the apps. My husband likes to add YouTube TV in the fall so he can make sure he doesn't miss any Texas Longhorns football. But yeah, at some point there has to be a cap. There has to be a ceiling to what Americans can afford, especially in this economy. And maybe the leagues will find out that they've hit that ceiling at some point. But for now, they're believing that fans will follow them and that they can reach more fans and maybe younger fans by turning to streaming en masse. So Matthew will join us from the Bay Area coming up a little later in the show. And he follows this. He's a night owl, I know, because he's often sending me tweets in the middle of the show while we're doing it. And so it's good to be able to get someone who's on our schedule and has no issue with staying up late. And really, that's a lot of the sports world, isn't it? Because of the fact that games end so late. And we often hear from coaches, traveling parties for different teams that they're listening to our show as they head home from a road trip and get in their cars and need some company on their drive back home. So we're always happy to get that audience. And Matthew's part of that, so he will join us a little later on the show. We've got a little bit of baseball to get to. If you haven't seen the breaking news, well, Randy Arozarena gets traded from the Rays to the Seattle Mariners. This one's odd. Am I the only one that finds this odd? I can't imagine I'm the only one who realizes or has looked at the wild card standings in the American League and notes that there is a half game separating the Rays and the M's in the AL wild card standings. They are 3.5 to 4 games out of that third wild card. Maybe, just maybe, the Rays have decided in the AL East and with the number of teams that they would have to battle to reach that wild card spot that it's not worth it. They're a game over 500. The Mariners are 2 games over 500. Here, take Randy Arozarena. He will certainly help you. This just seems odd. But as we get toward the Major League Baseball trade deadline next week, this is one of the first big dominoes to drop. And so the Mariners are sending 2 minor leaguers and a player to be named later, which, by the way, is an acronym in baseball circles, PTBNL. Yes, 2 minor leaguers, 2 minor leaguers, and one's an outfielder, one's a righty, and then a player to be named later for Randy Arozarena. I don't really get this, other than it's a financial move, right? Because the Rays, similar to the Pirates, maybe not quite as drastic, some of these smaller market clubs, they're not going to pay their guys. That's how it goes. They're not going to fork over money through the nose, even if it means keeping one of their stars in-house.
Yeah, they sent over a bag of chips
right.
in this deal. It's like the 12th prospect and the 15th ranked prospect mm-hmm. in their farm system.
Yeah, for 2 Randy lower Arozarena. Level minor leaguers.
For Randy Arozarena, who's come up clutch for the Rays in the postseason. It's a good deal for the Mariners. I do not understand this at all for the Rays. It makes zero sense.
Randy's not having the banner year that he did, say, 23 or 22, but he does have 15 home runs and he has 16 stolen bases. His batting average is way down. But if you're looking at the trade market and realizing how few guys are actually going to be game changers that are available, yeah, his name and his skill set, even if he is having a down year now, he's still a very dangerous player. And also, we've seen him on the game's biggest stages, right? Going back even to 2020 and the ALCS, the World Baseball Classic. You'll see those highlights pop up every now and then. So the Mariners are looking for a spark, and Randy Arozarena was dangled out there, as Colton points out, not requiring a whole lot of anything in return. So the Mariners need offense. They've got guys who are banged up, and Julio Rodriguez being one of those, and they're looking for something, anything that can start them on a better path and a hot stretch. And so they have acquired all-star outfielder Randy Arozarena. I mean, he definitely is dynamic, right? And actually won't be a free agent. So this is not a salary dump for Tampa Bay as much, though likely weren't going to be able to pay him what he would command on the free agent market. His salary this year is $8.1 million, and he is under contract until 2026. But the Rays in the AL East, this is kind of a signal that they're waving the white flag, if you will. They have a couple of other guys that they're dangling out there in the trade market as well, like their closer, Pete Fairbanks, also starter Zach Eflin. And we know every team that's a contender is willing to add pitching. Some teams are desperate for it. Not every team is desperate, but isn't going to sneeze or scoff at the ability to bring in a starter. And so there's another option there, third baseman Isaac Paredes as well. And so you've got multiple guys that are likely to not be Rays this time next week. And yet still, I guess you truly don't care if you're flipping this guy for very little in return to one of your top competitors for a wild card spot. It's just kind of odd.
Makes zero sense. And you have 5 days till the deadline. You couldn't wait? You couldn't wait till the last day and maybe
the price probably would have gone up.
Yes. It makes zero sense for the Rays.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Unless, of course, as we say, they're more concerned about, who knows, if it's about salary, they're always consistently one of the lowest payrolls in baseball, or if they really are about to load up and they just want bodies and prospects. I don't know.
Yeah, are we talking about the same Rays that are building like a multi-billion dollar stadium, yet they're going to cheapen out on their roster?
It sucks because it signals to the fans. Now, there are a few fans. I wouldn't say they have a dynamic fan base, but there are a few fans, and it signals to your fans that you're playing for the future, kind of like what Jed Hoyer said about the Cubs. So that's the big breaking news from just, the last couple hours. Randy Arozarena on his way to the Seattle Mariners. And yeah, we still days to go. We'll see what other movement happens, but expect the Rays to be players, sellers, if you will. And we had just talked to Rowan Kavner from LA in Fox Sports last night, and he had told us that the number of teams that are actually selling, not expected to be excessive, but he did mention the Rays and he did mention the Rangers. So we'll see if the World Series champions follow suit. All right, coming up on the baseball diamond, history on Thursday. And it was Thursday afternoon, so I hope that you had a chance to catch part of it. If not, we've got all your deets. So history plus the return of Clayton Kershaw, the Dallas Cowboys get into camp. Man, there's all kinds of great football. Justin Fields taking first team reps for the Steelers because Russell Wilson has a calf injury. It's going to be good. It's going to be a fast 4 hours. We're going to fly through it, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations to Dylan Cease. For those of you who are big-time baseball fans or even Padres fans, you may remember that he came very close to a no-hitter a couple seasons ago, and he was denied in the ninth inning. And so what a cool moment for him, because not only is it the second no-hitter in San Diego Padres history, but he had a chance again. What some baseball players will maybe never experience in their careers or only one time. He has the opportunity to close out a no-hitter in a way that he couldn't in 2022. In fact, kind of interesting twist to the whole thing. His current teammate, Luis Arraez, that's the one. That's the guy, his nemesis, if you will, who prevented him from securing the no-hitter a couple seasons ago when he gave up a single. What was it, 2 outs in the ninth inning, and he gave up a hit at that point to Luis. And so instead, Dylan able to close it out, and he only had to throw nine pitches in the eighth inning, and 11 pitches in the ninth. And so between those last two frames, 20 pitches thrown, which is a good thing because his manager, Mike Schilt, he was on edge. He wasn't sure he wanted to allow Cease to finish what he started.
Candidly, there was a back and forth after the seventh with him in a very healthy way because in my mind, you know, he's at 94 pitches. I'm factoring in the beginning of the game, looking to the long view of the season. But immediately he was convicted, like, I'm going back out. I'm like, no. I'm going back out. I'm like, mm-mm. And he comes in. I'm like, I think that's good today. That's good, you know. And I've only had one other guy ever talk me out of it. And I would just love the conviction. I think it's important in my chair to be able to be open-minded and listen to your athletes.
He said, nice job. And I looked up, and it was like 94 pitches. And I just said, I feel great. And if we get through the next one in like 105, then I've thrown 113 this year, and so he thankfully they let me talk him into it, and then here we are.
Right, so you have Mike Schilt admitting that he tried to get the ball away from Cease, and Dylan wasn't having it. He had 94 pitches thrown through the seven innings, and Dylan tells Padres TV, he was almost pulled, but he fought it pretty hard. And what about becoming, I want to say a footnote because that's not fair, what about becoming part of baseball's storied history with a no-hitter?
Man, unbelievable. It's crazy. I mean, Rube joked with me after the last one and said, hey, when are we going to get a real, real one? So that's pretty special.
A career high 114 pitches, though, and there actually was a rain delay in the first. So this is a big deal. It's got some interesting wrinkles to it. Not your average run-of-the-mill no-hitter, if there is one. He's 28 years old, just his third complete game. I love looking at the various elements that go into this, and every no-hitter is different. Every pitcher who throws one is unique. And, yeah, so this is a guy that was able to not only convince his manager to leave him out there, and I wonder what cards he played. Maybe not just the, hey, I've only thrown 94 pitches. I really haven't had any issues. He did walk a couple of batters, but he had 9 strikeouts and he was going strong. Or maybe it appealed to him emotionally. Come on, man. I was so close 2 years ago. I just need another shot. There may not ever be a shot like this one again. So, yeah, I love that. This is the first, well, it's the second no-hitter in Padres history. But when you talk about the two of them, they've come in the last 3 seasons, which is pretty amazing. And I know Padres fans certainly appreciate seeing their team celebrate, right? Because going back to their NLCS appearance, expectations so high. Last season and this season, a lot of money spent. And while this season isn't over in any way, there's still room there. The National League is not very good. So any team that would go on a run might be able to leapfrog a few other clubs in a week's time, even. Padres are right now riding a nice win streak. They've won 5 in a row, and they're 7.5 back of the Dodgers. Getting the wild cards make all the difference in 2024. But still, this is a nice moment and a way to celebrate that maybe spurs these Padres on now through these last few months of the season. Right now, they're sitting in that third wild card spot, but the Cardinals are a half game behind them. The Diamondbacks and the Pirates are just a couple more games out. So it's going to be very tight. Can the Padres even... Seeing Juan Soto go to the Yankees, can the Padres use the pieces they've got, and can they? I think their pitching staff is quality. I think it's solid. They do have some bats. Really just been a matter of consistency for them. But I think that they have some good veterans too. And like I said, maybe this is the stretch where they're able to leapfrog a couple of teams and find some momentum. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also in the National League West, Clayton Kershaw returning for the Dodgers, making his season debut. He's a guy that recognizes his own sports mortality. What do I tell you about older athletes? The old dudes, they rock. And the reason they rock is because they take nothing for granted. They know that the opportunities that they have in front of them are fewer than the ones behind. They recognize, for instance, that they may be part of their last playoff run. This may be their last real opportunity to challenge for a championship or to... In this case, for Clayton Kershaw, to pitch in front of these home fans, I think that he means so much to Dodgers fans. I really enjoy watching him pitch myself, but the different moments that he's had over the past few years, you know that he's emotional about them and they mean the world to him because he recognizes that the end is coming more quickly. And this was... Gosh, his first appearance since the NLDS last year. So not able to pitch with his club again for the bulk of the playoffs. And he had surgery last fall because he had ligaments in his shoulder that needed to be repaired, cleaned up and repaired. It took a long time to rehab. a few rehab starts. Remember, in there, he was also shut down for a bit. So there was about a month in between the first and second rehab starts. So I was kind of holding my breath, worried that we weren't going to see him. But he did make it out there on this Thursday afternoon to wrap up the series against the Giants. So special there as well. He threw 72 pitches. He pitched four innings, allowed a couple of runs on six hits, but also had six strikeouts. The curveball was delicious. I was watching some of the highlights. It's pretty amazing and good to see him so excited about getting back on the mound.
All the kids were here too, and they were so excited. And there's a lot of people in here that spent a lot of time with me to help me get back, and people back home as well to help. So just this was really cool that a lot of people cared so much to help me.
He actually wore cleats that were designed by his kiddos, which is fun. I'm not sure if you've seen the photo, but you can check it out there on Dodgers Twix. I know I saw them that, but it was a gift that he wasn't expecting. And so he got all teary about that. And on one of the shoes, his kids had written, "We are so proud of you, Dad." Actually, Colton, if you can find him reacting to that, I'd love it. He's 36 now, and his physical body has been through a ton. It's been back. It's been mostly back. It's been arm. It's been this. It's been that. And so to see him out there and to know that he was able to limit the Giants and keep them at bay, only giving up the two runs, I love it. And I'm glad for him, but also hopeful that he'll be able to be with the team the rest of the way.
I meant a lot. I think, just from the first time, having surgery to the rehab process, to be able to get back out there in Dodger Stadium is something I thought about for a long time. So it meant a lot.
By the way, I didn't really think about this until I was reading afterwards, but it's the first game that Clayton Kershaw and Shohei Ohtani have played in together.
5-4. Now Shohei Ohtani, first pitch swinging, high in the air, right field, hit deep, toward the corner, carry ball, get out, it will! Back-to-back home runs for Ahmed and Ohtani. Number 31 for Shohei. And just like that, it's now 6-4.
The call there on the Dodgers radio network, that to me feels like a, hey, welcome back, Clayton. So neat. Shohei Ohtani, Clayton Kershaw. Talk about a power combination. Number 31 for Shohei, but only a second since the All-Star break. So we'll see if he finds some momentum himself. Yeah, the Dodgers are 20 games above 500. And at this point, like the Phillies, you've got some division races in the National League that are not close. Again, anything can happen over the rest of this regular season, but Phillies are up by 9.5, Dodgers up by 7.5, Brewers still lead the Cardinals by 6. There is a strange disparity between the haves and the have-nots in the National League specifically. All right, on Twix, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, I love all your responses to our question of who has the best hair in sports. That's amazing. Good for you. You sent photos and gifts and names and hairdos that I hadn't thought about in quite a while. Dallas Cowboys getting onto the field for the first time in training camp. And yes, Jerry Jones has to hold court. And yes, questions about Dak Prescott and his contract and what his future holds, because everybody's got to have the crystal ball. Thank you, Voice God. And football play-by-play. It's always good to hear. That was on TV, though, wasn't it? Yeah. Colton doesn't know me very well. But actually, Colton is not needing to know me any better than he does right now. I know that's cryptic, but we'll explain at some point if Colton feels like it. Anyway, that was Monday Night Football. That was Monday Night Football. And that was ESPN or ABC. They present it on a bazillion different networks now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Dallas Cowboys, they are always in the spotlight. Better, worse, even when they're mediocre, which doesn't happen very often. They're terrific in the regular season and then generally get bounced in the playoffs. And for a long time, it's been shy of that NFC championship game. But Cowboys fans, they're still very active, very vocal, and I'm very impressed with your fervor. Also, seems like many of you have become more and more cynical over the years. Well, the Cowboys have reconvened in Oxnard, California, and there's some major question marks for them revolving around three players: Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons. The Cowboys certainly recognize how critical these three guys are to any success that they would have in this window with the group they've got right now. These three guys are their cornerstones. Dak was an MVP candidate last year. He was terrific. And I know he didn't play that way in the game against the Packers, the wild card round, but his season was terrific. Cowboys aren't where they are as the winners of the NFC East if Dak doesn't have the season that he does. CeeDee Lamb on the receiving end of so many of those Dak throws. Their connection, it's terrific. CeeDee, of course, is in his rookie deal and is now searching for a new contract, one that would pay him among the highest wide receivers in the league, or maybe even quarterback money. You never know. You never know till you ask. But an incredible campaign last year, 135 catches, which was most in the league, 1,749 yards, second among wideouts, and he was third in touchdown catches with a dozen. So this is a guy who not only moves chains, but also makes stuff happen. CeeDee Lamb is really important to Dak's success and the Cowboys' offensive success. And then there's Micah Parsons, who not only has one of my favorite athlete podcasts, but had 14 sacks last season and is a wrecking ball. Not that their contracts are all due or all in, say, critical mode at the same time, but how do you pay those three guys, keep them all happy, and keep them together? That's a major question facing the Cowboys. And they're not ducking it. They understand it's a complicated math problem. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I like what we heard from Stephen Jones, son of Jerry Jones, who addresses it and does it frankly.
I have a very unique situation. We have a quarterback who played at the top of his game last year, second in MVP voting, who can leave. And then we got two players who can't leave here for 3 years. Theoretically, if we didn't sign either one of them, I guess we couldn't franchise one 3 years from now. But we could sign one of them. And both of them, rightfully so, believe they should be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. And totally respect that. So very difficult situations that we're trying to work through with them.
Yeah, it's not easy. If you want to keep all three, you've got to be creative. And many times in professional sports, not just football, the money that's offered equates to the respect that an athlete feels from his franchise. Now, CeeDee Lamb, he's not in California. He's in Houston, and he's working out and awaiting his contract. Don't know how long this will be a holdout, if it will be prolonged. There's different theories out there whether or not he's willing to skip all of training camp. But Dak and Micah Parsons were on hand. And for now, that's all that matters. We'll deal with next year or the following offseason when we get there. But that's when Dak will be a free agent, next March. Parsons will be entering the fifth year of his rookie deal, and the team has an option. So if he doesn't sign an extension before then, they've got him for that fifth year because of the option. But what happens if he decides to follow in the footsteps of CeeDee Lamb, who, again, right now is choosing to remain away from the team. Jerry Jones gets asked all the time about the moves the team makes or doesn't make, and really the latter is more the case in off seasons. Why aren't the Cowboys more active? Why aren't they bringing in players via free agency or making deals that would beef up their roster? Wait until you hear who he compares himself to. But yes, Dak is getting a ton of questions about his contract situation.
It's a two-way street that they have wants, I have wants. I think I've deserved that. Understanding that this is a business, and obviously I want to be here. Talking about growing up, this is where I've become a man. So, but that end of the day, at the end of the day, it's a business, and you know, when I'm gonna say it, I want to be here. But you know, when you look up, all the great quarterbacks I watched played for other teams. So my point in saying that is that that's not something to fear.
Wow. You heard him hesitate before he said it, recognizing the small wildfire that he would start. Actually, they don't need any of those in California. So the small the small storm that he would create, relatively small storm he would create by saying, hey, all the great quarterbacks, they had more than one team on their resume. Think about it. Peyton Manning, Colts and Broncos. Tom Brady, Patriots and Bucks. Joe Montana, San Francisco 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs. Aaron Rodgers. Actually, Brett Favre had three. But Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers and the New York Jets. Brett Favre, he ultimately got to the Vikings, which is where he wanted to go when he left the Packers, but they didn't let him initially. Packers, Jets, Vikings. Matt Ryan, I don't know if you would call him a great quarterback, but he was an MVP. Falcons, and then ended his career with the Colts. Eli Manning, though, he's headed for the Hall of Fame, and he did not play for two different teams. Good for you, Eli. He always just wanted to be a Giant. Drew Brees, Chargers, and then won a Super Bowl and broke a bazillion records with the Saints. Philip Rivers, Chargers and Colts? Oh my gosh, it's so weird to even think about him in a Colts uniform. Should we put Derek Carr in that conversation? Raiders and Saints. So Dak Prescott actually hesitates and then throws it out there. Now he does reiterate more than once, I want to be here. I want to be here. But it's a business. And I'll be okay, essentially. And I feel like as much as that creates quite the reaction and the ripple effects and it's clickbait and people want to know what the heck, it can be turned into something it's not. Fact is, you get it out there, you say it once, you don't have to say it again. And your team heard it too, right? Of course, he did say twice he wants to be with the Cowboys, so let's not turn it into something it's not. Jerry Jones, because you can't miss him after the top of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.